Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to episode 101 of the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux. Today I am joined by Brian Joyner and Matt Collins to start tackling the offseason. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show. How's your World Series hangover?
Cured.
Yeah.
I finally got some sleep.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm starting to get tired again, but...
Well, I'm always a little tired.
But... Yeah.
Well, of course. As is the standard around here. Let's talk about some positive stuff, though. There's more good stuff to happen. Typically is after a World Series season. But awards. Awards have gone out. I think the big one here is that finally, after much chagrin from all of us for a long time, Jackie Bradley Jr. finally wins his Gold Glove Award. He does so at the same time as Mookie, who I think has his third now at this point. And Ian Kinsler won another one. What'd you guys think about the Gold Glove candidates and winners from the Red Sox?
It's not really a surprise. I kind of have a hot take, though. I think Jackie Bradley's obviously amazing. I don't think it's ridiculous that he's never won before.
Because
you and him and Kiermaier can go to hell.
Yeah, Kiermaier. I think Pilar might be better, too. I think Buxton might be better. So,
I think
we're just in a...
Wait. We're talking about Major League Baseball players?
I'm talking about defensively, yeah.
Is Byron Buxton a Major League Baseball player?
Well, he wasn't this year, which certainly helped Jackie Bradley. But that was one of the reasons he didn't get it a couple years ago. Buxton was ahead of him on that. I think it's just we're in a golden age of defensive center fielders, and that kind of sucks for Bradley. But I'm glad... Everything worked out for him this year, so he's going to at least get one in his career.
Has Pilar won one?
I don't know.
I don't think he has.
Yeah, well,
really? Yeah, that's weird.
That's too bad, Kevin.
I don't think that any of those guys is better than Jackie Bradley, except for possibly Kiermaier. But I think the thing that's awesome about Jackie is the dude's on the field 150 games a year, every year, and he plays in an outfield that I don't think – rewards him defensively the same way it would if he was in like a much bigger outfield that he could patrol. And also he's next to Mookie Betts. I mean, how does that affect his defensive stats? You know,
I don't necessarily agree because the quirks and the triangle and the big right field. I mean, he's next to Mookie, but Mookie has just an absolute acreage to cover. So I don't think the ballpark works against him all that much, but it's definitely great that he won. Now we don't have to worry about it anymore, and now it's the Gold Glove. If whatever, depending on what happens to Kiermaier, JBJ could win five in a row. He could never win again. Who knows?
Well, at least now we can say Gold Glover Jackie Bradley Jr. When we talk about
I'm
probably not going to say that because it's more words. But
I'm more of the, if I'm going to use that many words, I'm like, guy who hit all those playoff home runs.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Kinsler winning the award?
Yeah, he's good. Everybody looks at that error in the World Series and it's like, I can't believe he won. which is obviously very stupid. Kinsler's really good defensively, so good for him.
Is he under contract next year?
No.
All right, yeah, so I don't care. He's on the team for like 2 months. I don't care.
I thought that that award might go to someone like a Altuve or a Whit Merrifield or someone like that. I was kind of surprised that Kinsler got it.
Really? I don't know.
I didn't think like he graded out all that well this year. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
I think, I mean, I don't know how much that plays into it. He has a reputation that certainly helps with the voters. Yeah. I know there's some aspect of stats, but I don't think it's that huge.
I feel like the Gold Gloves, like, are the quality of the competition is so stretched at the, like, the skill defensive positions up the middle, but not including second base because it's second base. And then the other one, I mean, third base too is a pretty good one. But that's they true. Can get the ones that can get sort of stratified, you can just see something like Kinsler winning just because. That's like the Rafael Palmeiro winning it 1 year at first nothing base like when he played 17 games.
Yeah. Well, we did see Max Muncy play some games at second base, and Daniel Murphy's been hidden at second base, so we've seen some shit there. So I guess it's not all that surprising. Betts, JD Martinez, and JD Martinez also won Silver Sluggers.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, I didn't know that that could happen, that a guy could win it at two positions. That was pretty cool.
It's awesome. It shouldn't have happened, but it's awesome.
Why did it happen? Like,
just enough people voted for him.
Have you ever seen that before? I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's never happened. No, it was the first time it's ever happened. People have gotten votes at two different positions before, but nobody's ever actually won both.
Does that mean that people split – they voted for him twice or split their votes in such a way that he won both? Yeah,
there's a lot of vote. It's coaches and managers, so there's a lot of votes to go around. So I'm pretty sure – it's just a lot of people voted for him for outfield, and a lot of people voted for him for DH too. I don't think they voted for him twice.
That's incredible.
It's totally bizarre. He shouldn't have won it in outfield. I'll just say that. I don't think he played enough in the outfield that he really deserved it. But also, it's awesome, so I don't really care.
Didn't he get like 46 games there or something like that?
57.
57. Yeah, that's
the only thing I care about. Before the season is that I said he would play more than
did. You got that one.
You did. You nailed it.
I was curious.
They were going to win the World Series too. I said that every year. I'm not even sure it came up this year. But if I did make a prediction, that was it.
I was curious if he gets players usually have bonuses for Silver Sluggers in their contracts. And I want to know if he gets that doubled or not.
You should ask Alex Spear on Twitter.
Yeah, I did. Thanks, Brian.
Oh, right.
I could see a team like the Marlins or something fighting that and like taking that to like arbitration or something. I don't think
I could see a team like the Red Sox fighting that.
I don't think the Red Sox would. I think they'd fight some stuff, but I don't think something like this would be worth it.
Either way, his financial reward is going to come after the 2019 season.
Well, yeah, he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about that yet.
Betts also won the Wilson Defensive Player of the Year award at his position, right field. What's up with these awards? Why do we have competing defensive awards?
Yeah, I don't understand what the difference is, besides that there's not one for each league.
Right, and like,
but it's not the same players,
and no one cares about the Wilson awards.
Like, well, you I just mean, mentioned Kiermaier it.
Won it for center field. I don't know what I don't really know what it is.
This is exactly what it exists for. It's like because it exists, and we know that people wear Wilson gloves. Isn't Rawlings the Gold Glove?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So this is just like, oh, we also make gloves, so we also can tell you who's good at defense. It's this weird, like, the through line for Rawlings. And, like, yeah, they own that thing now. It makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me that a different glove company is like, well, no, we actually have a different pick.
Right. It's we like, don't have the Mizuno Gold Glove Awards either. I mean,
it's just... but the difference, Jake, is that
give it a couple years.
I'll be so into the Mizuno Awards. Like Wilson, I don't care about, but the Mizuno Awards.
Did this
Awards,
just start this year? This Wilson one? Because I've never heard of it.
It's been around for a few years because I think Pedroia won one a few years back.
I had heard of the Platinum Glove. I don't know if that's the same thing as what Chapman won, though, as the Defensive Player of the Year.
No, the Platinum Glove is a Rawlings Award.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, so I guess the Platinum Glove is the one player wins it.
Right. Yeah, I think Mookie won last year or 2 years ago. He won once.
Buxton won last year, the Platinum Glove.
Look at that.
Yeah.
At any position?
They just pick one gold glover from each league as like the ultimate gold glover.
That's the Platinum Glover, in fact.
Yes.
How are we back on medals?
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
All right, so the big talk around the town right now, though, is no J.D. Martinez in the top three finalists for the MVP award. Scott Boras has made a big stink about it. He tried to shame all the writers for this particular vote. And the argument here is that, you know, the award has essentially become best baseball player, not necessarily most valuable baseball player to that team. And his argument is that, you know, this team was out in the first round last year and won 90 some odd games last year. And the only major addition they added was JD, and they won 119 games in the World Series this year. So what'd you guys think of that whole thing?
Don't care.
I mean, I don't think there's anything more valuable than being the best baseball player. So I don't really understand his argument. I think that if Martinez was in the top three, it would have been fine. It's fine that he's not. The like 3 to 5 range is close enough that it doesn't really matter. And also, this is a 2-man race that's pretty much just a 1-man race. So who really cares about who's third in the voting?
It's been a one-man – it was a one-man race. Like
I think Trout has a better case than he's getting credit for, and it's probably not going to be as close as it should be.
But Trout exists, like, with respect to the MVP conversation, he exists in the same place as, like, LeBron.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
And, like, I understand it's not fair, but I'm not, like – I understand the dynamics of that.
Yeah.
And the first of all, this is literally Scott Boras' job to talk up. It's fine. His job. Also, J.D. Martinez just won 2 Silver Slugger Awards. So I guess that
would play
into the MVP candidacy thing, unless there are contractual incentives attached to it. Like, I understand it. Like, we're not the only baseball team. They're some fucking amazing baseball players who also play defense. We just talked about defense, and we like it. So I understand how that happens. And on top of that, the WAR thing, like, they're the top three. So the one thing that bothers me is just, like, the pearl clutching over isolated incidences. I can understand Boston fans being upset. I am not. I don't care. They just. I would like to amend a previous statement. This was the best year. I take it all back. This was the best year. Said on the podcast last week that it was the third best after some reflection. This was clearly the best year, start to finish. Anyhow. But the pearl clutching over, like, the MVP voting going strictly toward the WAR guys. It's like, okay, this happened, what, 2 years in a row? Let's pump the brakes on the worries about it. Like, this is also not the person who's going to win. This is just being a finalist.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the flip side of it, like, I'm not upset about it at all. I'm kind of with you guys. I don't really care all that much that JD isn't in the top three. But I do understand the argument, and I do think that there's a lot that JD added to the team, especially, you know, when we follow the team all year and you hear guys talking about how much JD helped them in the cage, and he's almost like a second hitting coach, and sort of the impact that he has beyond just the field. And obviously on the field, he had a massive impact as well. But we've seen seasons from David Ortiz where he's had a similar impact to the one that JD just had. And I think that easily throughout all of those World Series runs, the most valuable player on those Red Sox teams was David Ortiz. And you take him away, and they don't win the World Series.
They certainly the last one, and certainly the first one.
I guess I'm just saying that, like, I think that there is something to the idea that this is becoming a very war centric debate because.
But it's a regular season award.
Okay, so what if you take away Jose Ramirez from the Indians? Like, they are obviously a lot worse too.
Sure, but we just.
But it's a regular season award. David Ortiz never won the MVP. I mean.
Yeah, this is done before the playoffs, so you can't talk about what happened in the playoffs.
No, I get you. I get you. I just think that.
It's also exacerbated. If the Red Sox go out in the first round and JD doesn't make the bottom four, I think people are less upset about it.
Because
they're just
that.
Despondent anyway.
I just think that war probably isn't the best way.
War is definitely not the best.
It's not the best. That's what I mean. Like, that also seems like this is sort of just a coincidence that it happened this way.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that they shouldn't have finalists. I don't understand it. It's not like they're voting again. Like, it's just the top three vote getters. I don't know why we have to do this. And now we have to wait another week to find out.
So they can put it on TV. That's why.
It's just really annoying.
And so people can bet on it, you know?
Yeah.
More.
I didn't think of that. But, yeah, they should just go back to not having finalists.
Don't you guys think that people do think of it a lot of times in terms of war, though?
Sure. I think people misuse war all the time. Don't even get me started on that.
But, in the same breath that earlier this season, and first of all, what they were talking about was Jacob DeGrom and that, like, would his stats be enough to – underlying stats be enough to win him Cy Young? And I thought – first of all, I thought we settled this when Zach Greinke and Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young Award, but apparently we did not. But, like, in the same year, I heard – I mean, I guess that could be a war – this could be a war argument too. But it's an argument actually, no, that is a war argument. Take it back. I realized I was arguing against myself, guys. I'm not going to do that.
All right. Well, let's get to the next one here. No Sale in the top three in the AL Cy Young Award. This one, I got to be honest, I'm 100% fine with. We got a question about it from Red Sox Ombref. And he said, should this pod talk about anything else other than Chris Sale missing the top three of the AL Cy Young race? Also, he asks if we ever take a break. No, not really.
This didn't
bother me at all.
I don't really get how people are so upset about this. He barely pitched in the second half, and then when he came back in September, he barely pitched in September, and frankly, it wasn't that great. So
also, it's the same exact thing with Martinez, where it's like, what if they had four finalists? It's like, then they would both be there.
Now, who was it? It was Verlander, Snell, and Kluber? Yeah.
I mean,
come on. Those guys are...
I mean, Cole might be ahead of them, too.
They all pitched a shitload of innings. Except for Snell. But, like, Snell won over 20 games.
Snell was incredible.
He was filthy. ERA under 2.
I think Snell's going to win.
I think Verlander is going to win. I think I would vote for Snell, though.
I would vote JV.
Snell, like, single-handedly ruined the Red Sox stats against left-handed pitching. Like, somebody, I forget where I read it, but somebody, like, posted with and without facing Snell, and it was unbelievable what he did to them.
Just in terms of the politics of it, it's really interesting because Verlander has passed the point, I think, where people are content with having voted for him. I feel like you like giving it to someone new and he's young and he's flashy.
Verlander's only won once.
Oh, but he also won the MVP.
Yeah, well, he stole the MVP.
It is kind of crazy that he's only won once, considering.
Okay, then Verlander's going to win. Sorry, he's going to win.
I hope he never wins anything again because he stole that MVP from Ellsbury. I hate Justin Verlander.
Fuck Ellsbury.
Oh my God. Fuck you.
I'm so mad right now.
Ellsbury's like my favorite Red Sox position player ever.
Yeah, you like steals and empty batting average?
Yeah, kind of.
Jake, who's your favorite Red Sox position player of all time?
Position player? I don't know. Wow, really put me on the spot, huh?
Well, if you're going to go after him, I got to do it.
Bogarts?
Fair.
The only, like, real sports jersey I have is a Jacoby Ellsbury jersey that I bought, like, a week after he signed with the Yankees. Because it was, like, 80% off.
I was going to say, you went to Modell's.
I forget what store it was. I went to buy my brother a Christmas present when I saw that. But no, it was some store at the mall. I don't know.
I got to give Ellsbury credit. That 2011 was good.
It was bananas.
Yeah, it was I can't believe it. Much better than that.
Let's move on. David Price and Eduardo Nunez both opted into their contracts. No real surprises here. Eduardo Nunez re-upped for $5 million. David Price into that next 4 years, 127 left on that deal. Did you guys like both of these guys opting in?
Sort of. Yeah. I don't think they're good values, but I like both of them.
So well, first of all,
they're going to be back on the team.
First of all, Price cannot not be on the team next year. Like, he's got to show up and, like, he wants to. Like, he
knows. So they're going to be better next year.
Right. And he knows. He's like, I have all the cards. He wants to play the cards now, you know. Nunez is just like, you could do better, but look, I mean, he's now a Red Sox legend. So, you know, he died for our sins in a game, one game, and then he played the next day. It's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I'm cool with it.
Is $5 million going to cover his medical expenses from all those wheelchairs that he was in?
I have to start a GoFundMe for that one.
I
love that
David
he
Price
is the guy who milks all the injuries, too, and all that happened to him. It's just it was great.
He's a good club.
Unless you had to stay up for the game, which Matt did.
Yeah, it was worth it just to watch him flail around.
Price, I agree, will be better next year. I think there's a lot to the fact that he figured out whatever in the second half and got this monkey off his back. So I'm a little bit more confident now in at least like the next couple years of that deal. I think, you know, the last couple could be pretty rough, but
if that's all that's bad, that's a win on that contract. If it's only like a year and a half, 2 years of Price not being very good, I'll take that.
How good I got does news he have for you, Matt. It's already a win.
Well, yeah, sure.
How good does he have to be for people not to complain about the contract, though?
You tell us, pal.
He has to win Cy Youngs. I mean, people are going to complain because they see a big number. That's just how it works.
I think if he pitches to a 3.5 ERA, people will be fine with it.
No, you know that's not true.
I do think it's true.
Well, after this year,
right.
I can see that.
Are you just talking about this year?
No, this like these upcoming next couple
people
years.
People complain about Pedroia's contract. I mean, the people are going to complain.
Which was a great contract.
No, it was a steal.
Yeah, it was a good deal.
I mean, people are always going to complain about player salaries. It's just the way it is.
All right, so for free agents for this upcoming season, the Red Sox have the following guys. Kimbrel, Kinsler, Pomerantz, Pierce, Eovaldi, Joe Kelly, and I threw on Brandon Phillips, too, because he's technically a free agent. I mean, why not? We'll talk about Phillips. So what I want to know from each of these guys, from you guys, and we'll go one by one here, is would you retain this player, and do you think the team will or will not retain the player? So let's go up with Kimbrel first. Matt, we'll start with you. Would you retain him, and do you think the team does?
I mean, it depends on the contract, right?
Sure. But, like, considering, I guess, for this practice, let's consider, like, what you think he'd get. So let's just say you think he maybe gets 4 and 65 or something like that.
Yeah. I really don't know. I've gone back and forth on this one a million times. Right now I'm leaning towards I wouldn't, and I think they will. I wouldn't really be that upset if they brought him back. I think they're probably better options. But I think how he pitched in the playoffs, obviously, and really all year, I think he's going to be better next year than he was this year. Kind of forget, he didn't have a spring training. He spent all of spring training flying back and forth between Boston and Florida. His daughter had a bunch of heart surgeries. He's dealing with that all year. I think that obviously had an effect on him. If you look at what he was 2 years ago, if you split the difference between 2017 and 2018, I kind of think that's what you can expect for the next couple of years. So I don't know. I think I just talked myself into saying just sign him. He's the best reliever on the market.
Brian, what about you?
God, I think he convinced me too. I mean, I was going to be like, yeah, he's a professional athlete. He's got to get over it. By the way, before the call, did you guys hear me complaining about having children and being too tired to do a podcast at 8:30 p.m.? So I get it. I think that I've just heard, first of all, what I think they're going to do and what they're going to do to me, or what I would have them do. In this case, we've been talking about it for so long, I've sort of just dovetailed. I've just heard too much talking from the writers and the organization about, like, so-and-so could close, so-and-so could close. Now, I know that could just be bargaining, posturing from the Red Sox, but also they're not wrong. So I think ultimately they do that because somebody overpays Kimbrel. I know the market isn't great, but
I can see it. I can see the Braves paying a lot for him. I'll say
in
I don't
NL,
think
the
closer
have
is
a
on
0.5
the
ERA.
What's that?
In the NL, have a 0.5 ERA.
Pretty much did earlier with the Braves.
Yeah, we know we would have with the Braves when he was that good. I think the team will not retain him, and I don't think they should retain him. I think that one of those NL East clubs is going to overpay for him, somebody with closer issues already that wants to signal that they're ready to compete, and I think that could be someone like the Phillies or the Mets or, you know, the
Braves. Yeah, the
Braves.
Mets are going to spend money. Come on.
Hey, they could. You never know.
Plus you have Adam Ottavino penciled in as our closer. Let's just admit it.
Ottavino is real good. I wouldn't be mad about that. Next guy here, Ian Kinsler. Brian, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I always just sort of hated him for nebulous reasons until he came to the Red Sox. But he's good defensively. If you can get him for cheap, sure, why not?
Do you think
I don't know if
he will?
Yeah, he's Ian Kinsler. Do I think they will?
Yep.
I think they'll treat him interchangeably with other options. And my guess is that since he has name brand value, he will sign elsewhere.
Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I can't see them bringing in another infielder. I think they're under the assumption that Pedroia is going to be ready for opening day. So unless that changes, their infield's pretty much set. And even if it's not, I don't think they're going to bring Kinsler back. He was pretty bad pretty much his whole time in Boston.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to try to, and I don't think they should. I think they have enough options, you know, between guys like Siwei Lin. Even if Pedroia is not healthy, Brock Holt can play there. There's a lot of options for them, so I don't think it makes sense. And I don't think he'd accept a job where he doesn't have a full-time role. And there's no guarantee of a full-time role here for him. Drew Pomerantz, next. Matt, should they retain him, and do you think they will?
This is another guy I've kind of started talking myself into saying they should retain him. I definitely don't think they will. They probably shouldn't, but if his stuff comes back, man, he's going to be such a bargain. I kind of see him going to, like, the Rangers on, like, the Doug Fister deal. We'll see if it works out any better this time around.
Brian?
I sort of agree, but I think there's a better chance they do than Matt is saying, simply because, I mean, maybe the faith that they showed in him during the season was a result, you know, was just part of the knowledge that they had him for the season and wanted to use him properly. But part of it could just represent faith in his talent. I mean, it would not surprise me if he came back.
It wouldn't surprise me either. I don't particularly think that they should gamble on him to come back unless it's just outrageously cheap. And I don't think they will. So I'm going to say no to both. Steve Pierce. Brian, will they retain him? Should they?
I mean, they have Moreland next year, right?
They do have Moreland. That's the only first baseman they have under contract right now, unless you count Swihart.
Then sure, but I don't want to pay him extra for what happened. But he's a perfect complement to Moreland, so that looks nice.
Matt?
Yeah, I agree. I kind of don't think it's going to happen. I think somebody's going to pay him to be, like, pretty close to an everyday guy. And I don't think the Red Sox are going to do that, but I certainly wouldn't be upset if he came back.
I think he's coming back, and I think they should bring him back.
What do you think he's going to get?
I think he'll get something like the Moreland deal. I don't think he'll get more than that. I think with his age and his perceived platoon, you know, splits, that I don't think are as drastic as people say.
They're not.
I just don't think that there's going to be a huge market for someone his age. The only wrench in that plan, though, is that there is a very weak crop of first base options out there. So potentially, but I kind of think that he loves it here and would come back, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got, 60 to 70% of the starts at first base over Moreland.
I'm kind of afraid he's going to end up with the Yankees.
I would hate that.
That would be the worst.
That would be the worst.
Nate Eovaldi, Matt.
No and no. It pains me to say it. And this is another guy I definitely wouldn't complain if he came back. But I think he's going to get a huge, like, well, not huge, but huge relative to probably what our expectations were a month ago. And I don't think the Red Sox are going to pay for that.
Brian, what about you?
I wish Matt hadn't said that because I hadn't really thought about it in those terms. And he's probably right. So that's too bad because he seems like, I think that there's a chance that the regular season in bigger chunks starts to represent the playoffs, just in terms of pitcher usage and the Rays thing, which the crazy part about that started this year. And by mid-season, it was just like a thing you do. That everybody, because everyone was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Let's just do that one day a week. So that's crazy to me. But I think that he proved it, and it was sort of, he's sort of always profiled as this. He's the perfect guy to, like, be in a system like that. Now, yeah, people are going to have him start, but if he wants to play on championship teams, I feel like they think that it pays to think this way.
Yeah.
So he's a great weapon. So Matt is right. He's probably going to get paid.
I think the team should keep him if the deal doesn't get insane. But I don't think they will, because I think the deal is going to get insane for him. I think that some team, I think an analytically driven team, especially a very analytically driven team, is going to really love what they saw from him. Velocity-wise.
And,
yeah, someone like that. Just
you know, the injury scared me the most.
That's the thing. Like, there's still so much risk with him. And, I mean, he definitely abused his arm during the playoffs.
And
so.
It feels really shitty to, like, have him do that for your team and then turn around free agency and be like, yeah, I'm a little afraid of the injury risk.
Right.
Hey, after Isaiah Thomas. After Isaiah Thomas.
Well, that still hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think someone's gonna fall in love with him and pay him a lot of money.
Look, man, I'm in love with him. That pitching thing is one of my favorite things that's ever happened in baseball. Like, that's my favorite thing. I didn't even see half of it. And just the whole story about that, it's like Casey at the fucking bat. It's amazing. I love it.
I'd be psyched if he came back, but I just don't see it. Joe Kelly. Brian. Would you bring them back, and should they?
Yes and yes. But quickly, Matt, if Eovaldi leaves, I'm going to have you or Jake go to a store and get me a shirt. So you can pull the same thing you did with Jacoby Ellsbury.
I don't think those are going to go on sale like Ellsbury's did, but I'll keep an eye out.
Matt, where are you at with Joe Kelly?
No and no. He's another guy I think boosts his profile a little too much. And I don't know. We've seen him go. Like, he's such a roller coaster. I'm kind of done with it. I think people are looking at him like he's the guy he was in the playoffs, and I just don't see that happening consistently.
This is interesting. I think the team shouldn't, but I think they will. I think Dombo loves Velo, loves this stuff, has that old school kind of scouting mentality in him still, and I think loves the personality too. So I think that this guy gets a kind of forever in Boston type treatment, where he's going to get overpaid and overvalued by us because of kind of what he meant to the team and the run and all that good stuff.
Well, so I have a couple of thoughts about this. One, I was listening to the Low Post, and he was talking to Damian Lillard. He was talking to Evan Turner about Damian Lillard. And Zach Lowe said, he's like, I was always a total stats guy. I didn't believe in culture. And the one guy that changed me on that was Damian Lillard, and how much he's like, how much the Portland culture revolves around him. Now, I think it matters less sort of just by the way baseball works, but Kelly has swag on 100,000 trillion. And, like, if you're going to overpay one guy and sort of just take it as a sunk cost that you're going to overpay someone after the World Series run, like, first of all, it's less money just given the position. It's like Joe Kelly is the – to me, it's like, yeah, just go do it. And so that's why I think they should do it, and I think they will, for the reasons you outlined with Dombo's – he fits Dombo's profile.
Yeah. I mean, if they do it, I'm not going to be mad about it. I just don't – I don't think it's the best baseball move.
I just think they already have, like, all these non-closing righties. I don't think you need another guy.
But they didn't use him as a righty. They didn't use him as a righty for so long.
Yeah, but this is your chance to get like an actual lefty.
Yeah, lefties. Are either of you lefties?
Oh, I'm not.
Thank God.
That's why we do a podcast and we don't pitch.
I never pitched. After I saw Bryce Flory get hit in the eye, I refused to pitch.
Oh, man. That's intense.
No thanks.
Brandon Phillips is the last one I threw on here. What are your general thoughts on Brandon Phillips?
I don't think he's playing next year.
You think he's done?
I can't imagine he's going to play next year. He didn't even play this year.
Barely. Not really. He could be, he could be a crazy cheap insurance to Pedroia.
They have so much insurance.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I respect the hell out of him.
Oh, and for like, sure.
And that one game was, if you're going to retire, like, you had that game.
That was the way to go out.
Yeah. And you get a ring, I'm out.
Yeah. I think that's why he came back. He said he could have gone other places with better roles than the Red Sox if he wanted to win a ring. So, yeah, I think he's done. I did a top 10 moments of the year, and that Phillips home run was like the first regular season moment I thought of. It was just so amazing.
Really? Over the Mookie Grand Slam?
It was. Mookie was second, but I immediately thought of that. I mean, that game was insane. The Red Sox took out everybody they possibly could, and then they came back.
What was your number one moment?
I didn't rank him.
Oh, you didn't? You just did.
I put him in chronological order. Oh, I didn't want to rank him. That was too much work.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so let's get to some trade candidates on the Red Sox. Here are four names I came up with that are four names. I want to know what you guys think, if any of these guys are candidates. Blake Swihart, Sandy Leon, Eduardo Rodriguez, Heath Embry.
Sure, I don't think Leon is, just because I don't really think he has trade value.
You think he's a straight DFA?
Non-tender. Okay. I think he's IRB eligible. I'm not saying they will. I don't really think he's teams are going to like line up to trade for him.
Yeah, I think the same with Hembry.
See, I don't know. Hembry is...
I feel like somebody might want him. It's possible they might want him, but what we're going to get back is going to be whatever they want to give us.
Yeah, it's probably be negligent, unless it's part of a bigger deal, but yeah.
Well, Hembry still has 3 years. He's signed through 2021. With his options. So he's got a decent amount of control for a pitcher who's shown that he can be
options.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any options.
He's no options, I'm sorry. He has ARB years through 2021.
Oh, I thought you were talking about minor league options.
Nope.
He doesn't have any of those either.
No options.
So Swihart I obviously get, but I don't get why they trade Eron.
Yeah.
Outside of like he's a good, like, he'd be a very valuable piece because he's good and young. So it's a good reason to keep him.
Yeah, well, especially with them having pitchers leaving, like Sale and Porcello are both free agents after this year. I'd be very surprised if they traded him.
My thinking with him is that he's got 3 years left, two options. He can be sent to the minors if he needs to be. Through 2021.
He's not going to the minors, Jake. He's 25. He's 25. This was his age 25 year. I don't know if he's still. And he had an ERA under 4. Like, the point is he's good.
Yeah, I take him off this list.
Do you guys have any trade targets?
Trade targets or trade?
Trade candidates, I should say.
Yeah. Not off the major league roster.
I really am curious as to what would, like, if a Swihart deal happens, what it would look like.
Yeah, I feel like it would be more like I don't think Swihart can be the centerpiece at this point.
Not a centerpiece, a bigger piece than Hembry.
Yeah.
Because he did, I mean, look, the catching stint combined with the hitting he did really, it's not like his trade value is, I would say, huge, but relatively, it relatively boosted it quite a bit.
I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what other teams thought about that. Because he really wasn't that great this year. He had, like, a stretch. That was about it. I think Brian Johnson could be another guy. He's out of options, and I don't really know what they're going to do with him.
He's got 5 years of team control.
He does, but he can't be stashed in the minors, and they're running out of roster spots.
Yep. I think he's an interesting option. I had him, Erod, Blake, Leon, and Hembry listed on my notebook here, and I didn't put Johnson, just because I figured they might want to hang on to the starting depth, but if you can't stash him, it makes it difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could if they really tried to, but I mean, you still have...
That would be a reason, like, this would tie into, like, Kelly and stuff. You put him in the bullpen. It's just a matter of sorting through, obviously, all these guys, but I don't think it's... they all work together, all these pieces.
Yeah, I mean, they made it work last year. I don't think they can make it work 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think it'd be difficult to do it. And Dave Dombrowski said as much. And we actually got a question from Annie Small, who said, Dombrowski said it's unlikely the Red Sox carry three catchers next season. Which two would you keep, and which two do you think the Red Sox will keep? And we kind of talked about that a little bit last week on the podcast. I said I'd keep Vasquez and Leon. Matt, you said Vasquez and Swihart. And Brian, you said Vasquez and Swihart as well. Do you guys think that that changed at all for you, or is that still kind of how you're leaning?
Still, I think it's good. I think that's what will happen, and I think that's what I would do.
Given that I think we take it for granted that Vasquez is going to be one of them, I think that it's just a matter of, is there a market for Swihart? That, you know, it's all just an equation. Can you get enough for Swihart to justify sticking with Leon? And that's it.
Yeah, and I don't think they could.
We'll see. It'll be interesting. Free agent targets. So some guys I came up with. Yasmani Grandal, Daniel Murphy, maybe at first base I was thinking. Bryce Harper, if you think that's possible. Marco Estrada, Charlie Morton, and then a bunch of relievers who I threw on here. Daniel Robinson, Kelvin Herrera, Andrew Miller, Adam Ottavino, and Carter Capps, which was an interesting name who's out there. Any thoughts on these guys?
My only thought is that I you just names you throw on there, and you just say you threw Ottavino at that. This whole segment is an excuse to talk about Adam Ottavino. So just do it. Say why they should get him.
Because he's good.
You know what? You're good too.
He's just real good. Matt likes him too.
He is good. I don't think I like him as much as you, but he is very good.
Carter Capps needs to have a legal windup.
Yeah, Carter Capps has been pretty garbage, right? Since they made him kind of chill with that.
Yes, but he's interesting.
He is interesting, but not in a way nothing. That. Sure, but I mean, I would cost nothing, and I don't think I want the Red Sox to sign me.
Are you as good as Carter Capps?
I might be.
I don't think so.
You haven't seen me pitch.
You have been going to the gym a lot.
Yeah, Matt, no one has seen you pitch since Bryce Flory got hit with a ball.
That's a good point. That was when I was like 7, so.
Yeah.
All right, give me some names who you guys like on this list.
Well, so, Jake, I have a thought about Daniel Robertson.
Okay, go. No, it doesn't have to be on my list.
My thought is that I can't deal with getting a guy directly from the Yankees. Now, look, we got Eovaldi, but he was laundered. We got to launder him from somebody. Then, sure, yeah, he'd be fine.
I would take Robertson. I like Cody Allen's a free agent, right?
He is.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't been talked about enough.
It's because he's
He's not good.
What?
He's terrible.
He's not good. I mean, I would love Charlie Morton. Let's not get it twisted. I would love Charlie Morton. I don't think that will happen.
He's not even Houston, probably.
Yeah.
I think he is.
You do?
Yeah, it just seems like – I mean, it just seems like that's the way it's going, that they're just going to, like, reboot their rotation.
I mean, Cora has a connection with him, and he speaks very highly of Cora. That's why I think Charlie Morton
is – I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, I would be ecstatic if they signed Charlie Morton.
I have a name. I'm probably going to write about him tomorrow. But Garrett Richards is someone.
Get out of here.
That I love Garrett Richards.
He'll be so great in spring training. He'll be so happy, so excited.
He's one of those guys you get assigned to a 2-year deal and have him rehab for that whole first year. But you could get him really cheap for 2020 when you're losing Porcello and maybe Sale. And I fucking love this guy. He's on every fantasy team I have every single year.
And it all depends horribly,
but this guy, if he stays healthy, he's not going to cost anything. That's the thing. And we saw it work with Eovaldi with the Rays. He signed a 2-year deal with the Rays, rehabbed with them, and that kind of
takes. He was great when they traded him for the Reds.
Well, he that worked out for them, I would say.
Right, so let the Rays do it again.
We'll get out. Then you have to give up a prospect for it. Why don't you?
That's true. Why don't we just sign Charlie Morton so we get him to, so he can pit? Let's do that. I agree. Look, dialogue. We got somewhere.
I'm a big Gary Richards guy. I'm obsessed with him.
So. I'm a big Charlie Morton guy. So that's great. But like, those are great moves. I feel like even if they paid top dollar for Charlie Morton, see, that's something I could see them doing because it wouldn't be a long term deal.
He didn't get the qualifying offer either, did he?
I don't think he did. It would be a 2-year deal for Charlie Morton.
Yeah, that's the window. Yeah. I mean, I would be into that.
Yeah.
I like the I like the Richards idea. I'm just not thinking that far ahead.
I like the idea of Charlie Morton more even than I like the Nate Eovaldi deal, just because I think it'd be shorter term and there's slightly less risk with him health wise.
Is there? I feel like Morton's had some injury issues.
Not in the last couple of years.
No, but I don't know. He's still going to be 35. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't want him, but there's still plenty of injury risk, I think.
I think the best predictor of future injuries is recent injuries.
Morton seems to be on his J.A. Happ shit, but like, or like on his Verlander shit. But like, I believe in him for the next few years. You just, I like guys who figure it out late. I'm not projecting at all. He's just got it. And I feel like the Red Sox just with, especially with Sale, just can't pitch a full season. I think he would be great. And he also is a righty, which is weird to say, like we need another righty, but he would be another righty. That'd be good.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, this free agent market is kind of dominated by lefties too. So, he's the big righty other than Eovaldi.
Speaking of lefties, I would like Andrew Miller, please. And I don't think he's going to cost as much as we thought.
I think I want Andrew Miller. It pains me to say it. I think he's toast.
You think he's totally done?
Yeah, it makes me sad. But I hope I'm wrong. But
why do you think rather, that?
I just, watching him this year, he just looked like a guy that's not coming back. I don't really have a better way to articulate it. I don't really have, like, data or anything. I just didn't see a good pitcher this year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He wasn't good this year. I just think a guy with that skill and talent level can do it.
Yeah, he's getting up there. I don't know. I wouldn't be mad if they got him because he's one of my favorite Red Sox players of the last – like decade, but I mean, I think guy like cheaper lefties, even if you sign like a couple of them, like Sip or Wilson or
don't say Boone Logan.
I love Boone Logan, but I wasn't gonna say him.
Jerry, I like Sip a lot. I like Sip a lot.
Yeah, I think he's might be my favorite out of the lefties. I don't want Britton either. I think he's gonna get paid too much.
Britton, I don't want anything to do with.
Yeah.
He's been on the Orioles and the Yankees. He can go fuck himself.
Yeah, I'm about done with that guy.
Yeah, I think he might be toast too.
All right, let's get to some guys who need to be added to the 40-man roster for the Red Sox. They've been recently making a bunch of moves, clearing some guys from the 40-man. But guys who they need to add, Michael Chavis, Travis Lakins, Darwinson Hernandez, Josh Taylor and Josh Ockamy are five guys that they probably
Taylor will and should add. Taylor isn't slam dunk.
No, but he is on the
AFL
team.
I think he probably will. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded before this so somebody else can make that decision. But he's interesting, at least.
Yeah, he sure is. Do you think the other four guys are locks?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lakins breaks camp with the team.
Me either. Him and Feltman are both going to be in that conversation, I think.
I think that's why I put Hembree on here as a potential trade chip, was Lakins and Feltman.
Yeah, but I mean, they made such a habit of just keeping as much depth as possible that I agree that it's possible, and it could be if somebody like came knocking at their door with a good deal, they would do it. But I don't know if they're going to actively look to make room for those guys just yet.
Fair enough. Should we get some listener questions, guys?
Let's get to some listener questions, guys.
Devers Defender says, JBJ is my favorite player not named Rafael Devers. I'm terrified the Sox are going to sell high on him this offseason. Is there a basis for my fears? I don't know, Brian. Is there a basis for his fears?
I don't think so. Why would they trade Rafael Devers?
He's asking Bradley. About JBJ.
Oh. No, not after that season. I mean, sure. Like, in the sense that Isaiah Thomas got traded and anyone could get traded at any time. Sure. But if they hadn't done it yet, doesn't seem likely that they'd do it now.
Yeah, I don't think they're trading anyone that's projected to be part of their regular lineup.
Yeah, no way does this happen. He's staying. I think they're going to keep him for the term of his arbitration years, and then he'll be gone. All right, Jake has our next question, and he says, any guys on the Mariners that you could see the Red Sox targeting, could they be a good fit for Swihart, considering they just got rid of Zunino? I think this is interesting. I think they could be a good target for him, especially since it seems like they are planning on kind of blowing things up a little bit. And they have absolute dog crap at catcher right now. He could be a good fit.
Think about what you just said. They have absolute dog crap at catcher. He could be a good fit. I thought it was funny. I could totally see him in Seattle. That, like, he looks like he should be playing in Seattle.
Yeah, I'm looking at their roster, though, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of pieces that look like they line up to come back this way. I think it would probably be for prospects.
I think it would be bullpen help.
So I'm looking at that pen. Like, who would you get? Like, I don't know.
I don't know how to say his name. Pazos?
You like him?
Yeah.
Pazos. I mean, we're talking about a Swihart deal. You're not getting, like, Edwin Diaz for this.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, Colome I like, too. Those would be the two guys I would look at. I don't know if I would do it, but those would be where it matches up. And obviously Paxton would be great, but the Red Sox would have to put in a lot more than Blake Swihart.
I'd like to see a big deal for Paxton. That'd be nice. Maybe a Chavis in there?
Yeah, I don't know. The Red Sox have it.
Chavis, Dahlbeck, Swihart.
We're going to get another lefty.
A buffet.
That's what we need.
I mean, if it's Paxton.
Fair.
I don't think it's going to happen, though. Yeah, I think it would be out of the bullpen if they did make a deal like this.
Yeah.
You got to remember, Seattle doesn't have prospects.
They do not. That system is garbage.
Pazos is like a perfect trade, Matt. I'm sort of in awe.
Thanks,
of man. How well that, if those teams wanted to go down that road, it seems exactly what they would do.
Next question comes from Trevor Wyatt Berucki, and he says, I think Bill James is right. As much as we love ball players playing today, everyone is replaceable, and eventually the MLB moves on. Do you agree?
No.
Trevor, this is the worst take. Straight up bad take.
First of all, the best baseball players will always be playing baseball. What will happen is the professional sports bubble more likely will burst than any of that happens. And salaries go down because fewer people are watching it. That is a separate issue, though. This is just stupid. I mean, there are very, like, a few bad contracts make the whole thing look bad, and it is the exact opposite scenario. Imho.
Yeah, I hate this take. It's such a bad one.
Bill James said that if everybody retired, the league, you wouldn't even notice in 3 years. And that is the stupidest thing anyone said since Mitchell Lichman said he could win the Cy Young with league average stuff.
Yep. It's awful. There's only one Mookie. That's it.
Yeah, I hate this take.
Ramiro Rolon says, what is your perfect offseason scenario for the Red Sox with players coming back like Evo and Kelly in free agent signings? What would be your ultimate season, Matt?
Two relievers and a starter. Like a good righty, like an Ottavino, Allen tier guy, a mid-tier lefty, and like someone like Morton. I don't really think they need to do too much.
I don't think Allen and Ottavino are in the same tier.
Thank you, Brian. You said it.
You know, Ottavino has some control issues too.
I hear some furious typing.
Well, Ottavino has control issues too, and I think if you watch him for a whole year, you'd be a lot more frustrated because he's kind of got some Kimbrel vibes.
Allen is just bad though now.
Yeah, right. That's more what
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I have more faith in Allen.
You realize that you are like a distinct minority across all demographics.
Well, that makes it even better. Get him for cheap.
Yep. You know what? That's interesting. My ultimate offseason would be Ottavino, Charlie Morton, re-sign Pierce.
Can I ask you what's the difference between Ottavino and Kimbrel, other than price? Like, do you think Ottavino is better than Kimbrel?
No, I don't think he's better than Kimbrel. I just think he's
so much cheaper. That's fair. I thought you did. No, that's fair. I thought you thought he was better.
No, because I think Price's true talent level is better than what he showed this year, although I don't think it's...
Kimbrel?
Kimbrel's true talent level. I don't think it's as good as 2017 either.
Because
2016 wasn't that great for him, so I think it's somewhere in between.
I just, the hype has been getting, not from you, just like generally, the hype for Ottavino I think is kind of scaring me off a little bit.
Well, the scary thing about Ottavino too is that he may or may not still know how to get out lefties.
Oh, I hadn't even seen his splits.
He's had some platoon split issues in the past, so that can be troubling, but there aren't that many good lefties in the division, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, he's still one half of the plate better than Cody Allen.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are going to sign Cody Allen now.
It's going to totally happen. Yeah, I mean, Jake, I would co-sign what you said, basically.
Nice.
For me, if they get Charlie Morton, I don't care. Whatever else happens, I don't care.
Next question. Lucy in the Sky just says, how awesome was it that JBJ finally got his gold glove? Awesome. Like, really awesome. I was stoked.
Pretty sweet.
Scott Nadell asks, love the podcast. My question is, when are you going to upgrade your mic? One of them is super low and the other two are perfect. You know, oddly enough, I think he's talking about my mic, and I use like a super nice mic, and I can't figure out why my voice is always low on the podcast. I gotta figure
out.
Gotta
be a recording software. It's like, because Matt and I sound the same because we're doing it the same way.
Right.
That's why you sound different.
It's got to be something with my recording software, and I cannot figure out how to change that. So I'm going to try and figure it out, but definitely not the mic, guys.
Rest assured to the people listening that when we are talking, it sounds like we're all talking at the same volume.
Yeah. Mike Bomarito asked, where could he find this podcast? And I wanted to just let everybody out there know, obviously, if you're listening to it, you found it. But tell other people that when they're looking for this podcast, search The Red Seat. Don't search Over the Monster because it doesn't come up if you do that. Dale Sams asks the next question. If Bogarts is going to get a 5-125 contract like Boris thinks, shouldn't he be traded this offseason, and shouldn't the Sox expect a good return? Hell no, Dale.
Another take I hate. 5-25.
That's a
bargain. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Wait, 5-what?
5-125 for Bogarts.
I'll take the way over on that.
Yeah,
I'll take the way over. I couldn't believe I heard that right.
He's gonna get like 200 easy.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, don't trade Bogarts. That's stupid.
Bogarts is one of the two guys that I'm most sure about you locking up. You lock up Betts and you lock up Bogarts.
I agree, but even if you don't, like, even if you say he's leaving next year, you still don't trade him. You're trying to win another World Series. You don't trade Tanner Bogarts.
You don't have to Jake, I agree, but I feel like Mookie, well, is this Mookie's contract year? It is.
No. He's got one more after this.
Right, but you proactively go after Mookie. You don't necessarily proactively go after Bogarts, depending on what happens with Mookie. Right. That's my thinking.
You get Mookie locked up ASAP, and then you put all your efforts into Bogey. Trevor Shackles asks our last question. He says, what free agents from other teams should be their biggest targets? We talked about a few of them, but did you guys have anybody outside of the list we kind of mentioned?
Probably, but I need to bring the list back up.
How about this free agent targets for the Red Sox? Yes. How about this the Manny Machado? Should we get him? Jake, you didn't bring up Bryce Harper, but he was on your agenda.
Yeah, no, he's interesting.
Oh, he did.
He's interesting. I think he could, because there's some talk about him playing first, too.
Yeah, and I don't know.
His bat would be crazy at Fenway, I think.
I would love to get Bryce Harper, but I would be shocked. How about Marwin Gonzalez? I like Marwin Gonzalez.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Where would you put him?
He could play a little bit everywhere, and it would be mostly
him and Brock Holt. Him and Brock Holt will just be all the subs.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably too repetitive with this roster. I don't think it would actually happen, but I like him. I think he's good.
Apparently, Marwin has drawn interest from like 29 of the 30 clubs.
I mean, it makes sense. He can play all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. That's a good one there. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up this first podcast of the fourth season?
I think you said it all, Jake.
All right. So if you enjoyed the podcast, you can go on, rate and review us. Also subscribe to the show. You can do so on iTunes, Stitchers, anywhere you get your podcast. Search The Red Seat and you will find us. You can follow these guys on Twitter. You can follow Brian at Brian Joyner. You can follow Matt at Matt R.Y. Collins. You can follow me at Dev Jake, and you can follow the Over the Monster account at Over the Monster. We'll be with you bi-weekly in the off-season, and we will be with you as news breaks as well. Thank you very much.